This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will, all that I am and have, you have given to me. To you, Lord, I return it. All is yours, Lord. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. The prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola. I wanted to preach this morning because I love Ignatius. You might wonder why. Well, the Jesuits have a saying that anyone who gets connected to them is ruined for life. And I have to say, I was educated by them, and then I worked for and with them before I came to Florida for nearly 10 years. And they're right. You get connected to the Jesuits, and you are ruined for life. In a good way, in a very good way. And that's why they take such pride in their students, especially in the high schools and the universities. And every year when I worked for the Jesuits in New York, we would take a group of parishioners and college students down to Fort Benning, Georgia, to protest the School of the Americas, which was providing weapons and training for the murder squads in El Salvador at the time. So, I have a sermon about Ignatius, but before I get into that, I just noticed it last night, for which I'm ashamed, but July 29th, just a couple days ago, was the anniversary of the ordination of the first 11 women to be ordained in the Episcopal Church. And we might say that in 1974, it was well past time when that might have happened. But let's give the Episcopal Church some room, because most other churches at that time, and even now, were not ordaining women. And these women had to endure death threats as they were marching down the aisle to their ordination. Their friends abandoned them sometimes, even families. So it took a lot of courage and a lot of faith and a lot of wisdom. And all of us today, whether priests or not, women or men, owe them a great debt. And I wish I had their names in front of me, but since it was late last night when I remembered this was true, I don't. But their names should be read out in every church every year. It was no small thing. And those of you who are too young to remember and you take for granted that here we are all women, it's not a small thing. And was very, very strange and unbelievable. And even in some places, an object of hatred in 1974. The women were refused twice before. And then, finally, in the convention in 1976, it was decided to regularize their ordinations, because before that, the church did not recognize them as being ordained, and they could not function as priests in the church. But in 1976, the bishops finally woke up, and their ordinations were regularized. So, having said that, let me get back a few hundred years, because this is one of my favorite feast days in the church calendar, the Feast of St. Ignatius Loyola, and I'll tell you why. My parents came from Ireland, and when my father retired, they bought a lovely bungalow on a hill 7 miles from Cork City, overlooking the River Lee and the harbor. Once they got settled there, however, they began to notice that while they could live without many American conveniences, one of those was not the television. So my father asked a neighbor to drive him up to Cork to buy one. Yanks, thought the neighbor, who was telling me the story after my father died. So up to town they went, to the television store. After testing and pricing every TV in the store, the salesman's patience was wearing thin. So finally he said, "Mr. Cotter, this is a fine set, and if you buy it, I will give you a lifetime guarantee." "Oh," said my father, "well, can you guarantee me that you will be alive this time tomorrow?" My father was a wise and prudent man, and a man of great faith, by the way. But even so, he bought the TV. But I thought of him when I read the readings for this week, and in particular the gospel, where God says to the man who is looking for more and more and more, "You fool, this night you will be in paradise." And so I'm reading this and I'm saying, yeah, what a fool. But you know, sometimes I'm a fool. Sometimes we're all fools, I think. We think to ourselves, oh, if only I had this, or I need that, or, you know, my car's 2 years old, maybe I should get a new one. You fool. But we keep planning and planning, and it usually is about acquiring more and try moving, even if you've only been in a place for a year, and see what you've acquired. You know who I am. I have moved 3 times in 4 years, and each time there was just as much stuff as there was before. Sometimes there was more. For what? For what? So, you fool. Did you, like me, think, yes, you fool, when you heard these words? But don't we sometimes at least live like the fool? We don't look for much. I think most people here at St. Joseph's are happy to have a roof over our heads and food on the table and health, if we have that. And we're grateful to God for the things that we have. But the prayer of St. Ignatius Loyola, whose feast day we celebrate today, turns this foolish thinking on its heels. Remember the prayer. "Take, Lord, receive my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. All that I am and have, you have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. All is yours, Lord. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me." I confess that I was ecstatically happy to realize that July 31st fell on a Sunday this year, and I insisted, as Reverend Carol can attest, on preaching. Last night I thought, why did I do that? I could have the weekend off. But here I am, and you'll have to listen to me on Ignatius. So the Jesuits have a mixed reputation. Some people think they are wonderful. When I worked with the Jesuit Church in New York, we had a lot of weddings, lots of weddings. And one day I said to the pastor, "How come we have so many weddings?" And he said, "Well, I think the word has gone out that the Jesuits don't ask too many questions." I think he was right. But also, a lot of people learned how to pray from the spirituality of Ignatius and his sons, the Society of Jesus, and were brought closer and deeper into the mystery of God. Like Francis, Ignatius, and by the way, the Pope, Francis, is a Jesuit. Like Francis, Ignatius did not set out to found a religious community. Like Francis before him, he came from a well-off family of minor nobility, and like Francis, he envisioned a life of comfort, courage, and a beautiful lady. In his dreams, the Infanta of Spain. However, a mini ball in his leg at the Battle of Pamplona put an end to all that. His leg had to be broken and rebroken, all without anesthesia. And he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. As he lay in bed in his sister's house, bored, he began to read the only books he could find, A Life of Christ and A Life of the Saints. As he read them, he noticed he felt joyful, hopeful, and peaceful. By the time he recovered, his life had changed, but he didn't know what he was supposed to do. First, he went to live in a cave in Manresa, cut his hair, his beard, his fingernails, and did not bathe. Fortunately, he kept trying to figure out how God was calling him, and so he left his cave, cleaned himself up, and went to Rome to see the Pope, who basically told him to go to school, which he did, and which eventually led him to the University of Paris, and where he gathered a group of young men around him. And this is where we get back to the gospel and to my father, asking each of Ignatius's friends, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but suffers the loss of his own soul? This little group, now numbering millions, call themselves the Society of Jesus. We call them today usually Jesuits. And by living and teaching the spirituality of Ignatius in what he called the spiritual exercises, they have gifted all of us with a way to pay attention to God in the midst of busy lives. Here are just three lessons that all of us as Christians can learn and live through any activity we do. And it's important to say that Ignatius' spirituality was not only aimed at the little group that he brought around him. Yes, they were the leaders, they were the ones he taught how to pray, but then he sent them out all over the world. And the spirituality of Ignatius was a spirituality of everybody. He didn't live in a monastery. We don't live in a monastery. And yet he told everybody, this is the way you reach to God, and God reaches to you. So number one, you should have complete and total trust in God at all times. Good times as well as bad times as well as good times, knowing that God is present even when we feel that God is absent in our lives. Two, hope. Hope is an act of rebellion in the midst of difficulties. Ignatius knew about the situation of the church and the world in his time. He was hauled before the Inquisition 3 times, yet at all times, he encouraged and still encourages us to look at Jesus, to observe his gestures, and to feel in our hearts his words. For only by learning from him can we respond lovingly to the needs of the world and be witnesses that the world can change when we know ourselves with Jesus. Hope can come in the loving words of a friend in a letter, in a small gift of candy or flowers, or the realization that God teaches us to care for one another. The Irish say, Arscath achelis amhira na deon. We rely on each other for shelter. We rely on each other for shelter. My third learning of Ignatius is to know how to share all good things that God gives us. For you parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, just taking some time to share in some way with the children in your life how God has always been with you. Most importantly, to always have a foot in the air, as the Jesuits say, open to change, and ready to risk everything for the greater glory of God. How do we do this? Ignatius encourages us to ask every single morning, what have I done for Christ? What am I doing for Christ? And what will I do for Christ? And every evening, how have you been with me today, Jesus? How have I been with you? Thank you for all of the times that I was able to be with you and know that you were with me. And help me tomorrow to feel the same. What have I done for Christ? What am I doing for Christ? What will I do for Christ? And one last thought. A few years ago, more than a few years ago, some years ago, when I was here, I was talking to a friend of mine who is also a clinical social worker and a counselor. And I said to her, you know, it's really weird. I still find it difficult to see myself as an ordained priest. And she said, how so? I said, well, I don't know. When people say Rev Mary or Reverend Mary, I say, oh, just Mary is fine. And she looked at me as if I was crazy. And she said, how about the next time someone calls you Rev Mary or Reverend Mary, you say, thank you for reminding me. Now that's particular, but I think we can generalize that too. When someone gives you a compliment, you are a good person, a generous person, a kind person. Instead of saying, oh, it's just nothing, it's all right. Say, I'm a Christian and thank you for reminding me. Ignatius would be happy with that. And so this morning we honor some very important people. Ignatius Loyola in the 16th century, and then our sisters from Philadelphia in 1974. All of them listened to the voice of God. All of them asked God to be with them. All of them were willing to risk everything. Those women risked everything. They could have been excommunicated, cut off from the church completely. People made fun of them, all kinds of things. But they kept going. They kept going. And so this morning, as we think of them and their courage and their wisdom and their holiness, we have to look at ourselves. Because everyone in this church has courage, has wisdom, and has holiness. So the next step is, what have I done for Christ? What will I do for Christ? Amen.